The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Commentary for the December 14, 2024 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. It seems that sometimes the more we understand, the less we understand. The rise of quantum physics in the early 20th century taught us to understand that at the quantum level, things can exist in two different states simultaneously and only coalesce into a single state upon observation. Erwin Schrödinger made an illustration of this quantum uncertainty with a hapless cat in a box. The animal faces a random, uncertain future of either death by poison or living because the poison is not released or is released by a radioactive trigger. Therefore, if the box remains closed and the cat unobserved, it is both dead and alive because of uncertainty about its fate. Once the box is opened and the cat observed, its fate becomes certain. However, with multidimensionality, the cat may be in either state or even unresolved, depending on distinct factors intrinsic to those dimensions. This all derived from experiments over a century earlier to determine if light was a waveform or made up of particles, since experiments seem to paradoxically suggest both. Quantum mechanics opened my eyes to a scientific mathematical foundation for an understanding of God. Despite the contradictions between Einstein's theory of relativity and quantum mechanics, both models have been verified as applicable to understanding the universe from the unique perspectives framed by each. It may be that the uncertainties of quantum mechanics are a fundamental reason that a unified theory eludes us. But we do not abandon the quest for that holy grail. Instead, we press on with faith in the nobility of the pursuit and the hopeful rewards that could ensue. In the meantime, we live with uncertainty and accept it as a fundamental of physics. The paradox here is that nothing is certain until observed, if even then. Yet it has become popular to assert that God does not exist because of the inability to observe such a being. It is like saying before quantum mechanics that subatomics did not exist because we could not observe them. One would think we would have learned better when we discovered the microscopic world of cells and molecules. Their predictability misled us into a false feeling of security about our universe. We like stability. It gives us a solid base to assert power and control over our world. And it works at some levels. But the smaller we go, the less that reliability holds. Our response is to create closed systems to remove the possibility of chaos. But in the end, those systems always seem to break, whether we are talking about plumbing and HVAC systems or political and religious organizations. We live with the uncertainty, acting as though it does not exist, even though we were apt to say, nothing lasts forever. It is ironic that those who would naysay a belief in God have no problem believing a physicist whose work and mathematics they do not fully understand, and will cite that same scientist should they say they do not believe in the existence of God. If an average person cannot understand subatomics, what makes him believe that the person's work is a basis for disbelieving in God? This is perplexing when quantum mechanics makes the existence of God more rather than less likely. The concept of the Trinity is an example in point. Over 3,000 years ago, God was a unit, solitary, alone in the minds of humanity. This may have seemed like an evolution from polytheism. As evidence of it being such an evolutionary step, the development of monotheism in Egypt during the reign of Pharaoh Akhenaten is often cited. However, that example died out in the next generation, and polytheism was a rule outside of Judaism until Christianity became ascendant, and later the Muslim faith. But rather than being an evolution from polytheism, both traced their monotheism back to Judaism. This is not to say that there was not turmoil over what that monotheism meant. At the Council of Nicaea in 325 in the Common Era, two bishops, Arius and Athanasius, came to blows over the idea of the divinity of Jesus. Arius, who claimed Jesus was not divine, lost out when the Emperor Constantine sided with Athanasius. But his followers continued to hold to his belief and became known as Arians. The Vandals adopted Arianism and managed to keep it prospering within their territories for the next three centuries. Although defeated militarily by Rome and Catholicism, its practice never completely died out, and today's Jehovah's Witnesses continue the tradition of denying Christ's divinity. Some Seventh-day Adventists in the 19th century adopted a non-Trinitarian belief, with some of those later turning to Trinitarianism. As time went on, denominational dogma became more fixed, culminating in the 27 fundamental beliefs voted in by the General Conference session in Dallas in 1980. Those fundamentals came down solidly on the side of Trinitarianism. There continues to be murmuring within the ranks over that decision, but most seem to agree with Trinitarianism, as were those General Conference delegates. Since membership issues are decided congregationally, unless there were some sort of purge at a local church, the grumblers are usually allowed to remain in fellowship, but may face little opportunity to find denominational employment. So those who are anti-Trinitarian, who wish to remain religiously active, may choose to form independent ministries in opposition to the church on this issue. My position on this is informed by my admittedly limited understanding of quantum physics. Since something subatomic can exist in more than one state at a time, and those subatomics may be the creation of a creative entity, why would the Creator not have some properties in common? If God can exist as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and perhaps other states of which we are unaware, and we are only able to resolve God into a particular state upon observation, would that observation tie him eternally to that single state? For instance, if God allowed himself to be observed by Moses over 3 millennia ago, would that single observed state preclude all others? If the principle can be applied to all of God's known states, then the observation of God in the form of Jesus would tend to fix that as his state in the mind of his followers and bring them into conflict with those invested in the previous state. This could repeat should he appear in another state as a Holy Spirit comforter. Some Pentecostals refuse to perform baptisms in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, as in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 28, verse 19, but instead insist that only baptism in the name of Jesus is valid, preferring that state of God, mentioned in Acts 2, verse 38. But this is like arguing over whether Schrodinger's cat was dead or alive between those who peered into the box at different times. Both are right and both are wrong, not recognizing the possibility that things can exist simultaneously in more than one state, because when we observed, we saw only one. The Bible makes different states of God apparent as well. Jesus, who referred to himself as a Son of Man, was seen by the martyr Stephen standing beside the Father in heaven in Acts 7, verse 56. He observed God in two distinct states at the same time. He was stoned to death for challenging the physical form of God established by observation in Moses' day. To those who could not accept the idea of multiple states of existence, such an assertion was blasphemy, and the punishment for blasphemy determined during the time of that past observation of God was death. There are those who seem equally adamant that their vision of God is the true vision, relegating all others into heresy. they would, if given the chance, die upon the cross of anti-Trinitarianism. As I already shared, such squabbles go back to the early centuries after Jesus, especially after the last of the apostles died. But there were competing ideas on the form and manner of God in his interactions with humanity. Several extant documents attest to this, such as the Shepherd of Hermas, the Epistle of Barnabas, and the Didache. These and other texts represent different visions of early Christianity that competed for acceptance, but were deleted from canon, especially once the power of the state was co-opted to support and enforce orthodoxy. Of interest is that John's revelation was not in the original scripture canon, but acceptance grew over time, even though it is markedly different in form and content from John's gospel and his three epistles. The politics of power and control, more than the Holy Spirit, has shaped our understanding of God through the centuries. When the Jews were in control of Palestine, their monotheism prevailed until the Assyrians and Babylonians subdued them, first destroying Samaria and displacing its population, and then Nebuchadnezzar destroying Jerusalem and its temple. When the captives were set free, when Babylon was captured by the Medes and the Persians, they rebuilt the temple, Jerusalem, and the cities of their fathers in Palestine, only to have them destroyed again by polytheistic Romans. Eventually, it was the Christians who were able to establish the continuity of a monotheistic faith, albeit with a twist. God had three forms, and all those forms were one. God the Father, whom Jesus referred to and prayed to. Jesus himself, who declared he and his Father are one. And the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus promised to send to take his place while he is away. My understanding that things can exist in more than one state at the same time causes me to ask if these are the only iterations of God's revelation to us. Or being God, are his states endless, as we might expect from a being that defines infinity by his existence? Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, along with hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find other articles and links to books written by the author. Once again, that's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.